Hello and welcome to another Seeking Answers and Not Liking What You Find episode of Dave Wright's podcast. I'm your host, Dave Wright. Each week here, I like to share one of my short stories and the next chapter from my novel, Soul. As usual, if you would like to know more about this week's chapter, then stick around at the end. For now, let's get into it. This week is Chapter 13, Leaving Arcadia. Seeker knew that Hansy Pete would be waiting outside the bar when it opened. Not a day went by without him dropping in for a pint or five. Most other places didn't put up with the man. However, he knew the score here and was never any real trouble, as he was running out of places to drink.
"Afternoon, Pete,"
Seeker said as he opened up the front door. He had to catch himself and make sure he didn't call him Hansy Pete to his face. The man pulled himself off the ground and nodded at Seeker, who could smell the liquor, or maybe petrol, coming off the man in waves. Pete had a skinful already and was looking to kick on.
"Evening, Seeker," Pete burbled out happily. "Was wondering if you're ever showing up."
He smacked a fist on the door as he walked through into the dark interior of the bar. "Not like this old place to be closed. Last time was when Surly Curly came down with a case of being a lazy bitch." Seeker grunted in response and started the routine of opening up the bar, flicking on the lights which didn't so much as illuminate as outline the darkness. Valkyr had already put all the stools up and cleaned most of the mugs, which was more than Seeker ever did. After their conversation, they had agreed that Seeker would open up the bar as normal instead of hiding, having a crowd in case the Cult of Levi actually comes to check on him. Valkyr had some gig he needed to get to. He had offered to cancel it, but Seeker could not take any more charity right now. Seeker just got around behind the bar when Pete was already fronted up and waiting. He drank the same rot gut each time, so they didn't need to extend their conversation as Seeker pulled a pint and slid it between the bar stools on the counter to Pete's grasping hands. Once Pete had a pint in hand and was taking a circuitous route to one of the booths, Seeker continued unpacking everything. It was odd to be doing all this work without a pounding headache or coughing up his lungs from the simple exertion of moving the stools around. He didn't even feel the burning need for a smoke, an ever-present companion for the past few months. Although, once done clearing the counter, Seeker didn't even notice that he had a full pint for himself and was raising it to his lips. Muscle memory was a scary thing. Managing to fight the mug back onto the bar without taking a sip, he felt proud and ashamed in equal measure. The rest of the afternoon and into the evening was a constant battle against deeply built habits. Each time he served someone a pint, it felt wrong to not pour his own and join them in spirit. Going the whole shift without the amber or the hacking cough, Seeker wondered how normal folk did it. It was so boring. As the evening dragged on and the clientele thinned out until he had to shivvy the regulars out, thankfully without a Levi showing up, there was still no sign of the copy. Seeker had to be here for when he showed, but staying in this bar, surrounded by alcohol and dying for a cigarette, was torture, so he busied himself cleaning. Finally, the door cracked and Seeker saw a copy of him walk in. Well, not exactly like him anymore, as the copy stood a few inches taller and his face had not been ravaged by the constant smoke. Seeker stopped what he was doing and looked at him. "What did you say?" He had deliberately spent his time since his creation avoiding other Levi's as it was unsettling. "So what do I call him? Hello me? Levi? Thanks for saving me from a bunch of insane us?" So occupied with this, he forgot the simple matter of that the last time this man saw him, Seeker was a broken and bloody mess, lying on a bed waiting to die. The copy found his voice first.
You are the same Levi, right? Seeker?
That name sent a shiver deep within him.
"No, never Levi. Call me...
the Seeker?
I had told people that without much thought, but why should I give away my mission in such a cavalier manner? Not for the first time I mentally chided myself for being so careless. Too late now, though."
Seeker's newfound brain caught up on what the man had said. "Yeah, I'm the Seeker.
He gestured to the closest booth, trying to come up with a convincing lie, settling lamely on,
"It's a long story, but I am the one you saved from the House of Fun last night."
They were sizing each other up like stray cats trying to figure out if it was fight or flight time. Seeker knew he didn't have a lot of time before Valkyr was supposed to be showing up with lightning. His possessions were already packed upstairs in one pathetically small backpack. Seeker had been on edge since finding himself shorter this morning. Add in the long habits knocking in his mind all day, asking, demanding, and finally screaming for a drink or smoke. Now staring at a man he had hated for so long, Seeker cracked first.
"Why did you save me from the House of Levi? Also, what should I call you?"
Seeker asked. The copy watched him for a while.
"You really are not going to tell me how you have recovered so fast, huh?"
Shrugging, Seeker tried to ignore the questioning stare. The copy finally sighed and continued.
"The House of Levi, is that what you are calling it?"
"Huh, it fits, I suppose.
I'll get to that. For now, you can call me Watcher."
"You using stupid names as well. What are you watching then?"
Seeker asked guardedly. Watcher ignored the insult.
"You know what the Prime's like. He's a lazy sack of shit. He created me for the mission of keeping an eye on all the copies and to report to him if and when a copy starts to go weird,"
Watcher replied.
"Of course he did,"
Seeker trailed off. "Of course Levi Prime would do that. Create a copy, bring another person into existence for the simple reason that he couldn't be asked doing the work himself."
"Does that mean you have told Prime about the House of Levi then? 'Cause that place is all kinds of bad."
Watcher nodded. "Yeah, I told him about it when the place was first formed. He still has not done anything about it though. Too busy playing hero." They both sat there morosely. How many Levi's had been killed or lost to that cult because Prime couldn't be bothered to do something about it? Seeker hated Prime even more if that was possible.
"What's the deal with the house then? Any idea of what the mission behind it is?"
Seeker was loving this new ability to follow conversations.
"Not really. The one in charge thinks he's a new Prime, but I've seen him touch other copies and nothing happened. I don't know what his mission was, but he is one of the Turned."
Seeker heard the pronounced capital T on that word.
"The Turned?"
"Yeah, one of us where our brains go weird. I don't know what causes it. It could be from the constant exposure to people who are exactly us, or if there's something wrong with the copying. But some of us just end up frothing at the brain and chewing the walls crazy."
Watcher shrugged, continuing. "Not that anyone is really looking into why it happens. Who cares about what happens to us? There's always more."
The repetition of us and copy was making Seeker feel drunk, and not in a fun way. "Am I going to turn as well?" The thought snaked its way deep into his mind. Seeker added it to the growing list of things to fuel his night terrors.
"Great,"
Seeker muttered.
"So it's possible that not only are we a shadow of someone else, but we're also ticking crazy clocks."
Watcher nodded sadly in agreement.
"That's why I got you out. I recognized you from another Levi. You'd not given up yet. You had not turned."
Watcher paused. "You would, though, in that place. I have seen it happen." The empty bar seemed darker and heavier than Seeker had ever felt before. He felt trapped. He needed to escape. This town, this life, this future. Seeker found himself breathing harder.
"I'm getting out of here, Watcher,"
Seeker ground out.
"You should too."
It was weird, feeling hope for another copy. He would not have believed it was possible even a day before. Valkyr had changed that. Valkyr had changed many things. Watcher was shaking his head.
"I can't leave. I need to stay and try and help the copies that are here."
Seeker almost felt ashamed. Almost. This was not his mission. He was not that kind of person. Valkyr had saved him, and he would not let his friend down.
"I'm leaving, and I won't tell you where I'm going. Sorry. I wish I could do more for you, but I can't. I wish you all the luck I can, though,
Seeker said to the table, unable to face the man across from him. He heard the man push his chair back and stand. Take care of yourself, brother. With that, the Watcher left, leaving Seeker alone with his thoughts. Alone and waiting. He wanted to see Valkyr so bad it hurt inside. That was Chapter 13, Leaving Arcadia. A shorter one this week, finding more about the system Levi Prime crappily put into place to try and keep tabs on the copies, but not actually doing anything about it. When I wrote the first chapter, oh so many years ago, Levi Prime was a sympathetic character in my mind. I mean, come on, he'd effectively killed his own son in front of his wife. If that doesn't get a little stirring of support, then maybe you should rethink your life choices. However, the more I expanded on the character, the more I thought about him and his trajectory. I saw how he would have used his power and his approach to it. He's the type of guy who never learns, never has a moment of introspection. He has been handed this godly power, and instead of being humble, he sees it as an extension of how amazing he is, as if he'd earned it. He's a jerk, through and through. As for the Seeker in this chapter, I tried to explore for him how deeply held his habits had become. Simply because his body had been healed, that does nothing for his mind. The grooves are still there. He is still an alcoholic, he still craves cigarettes. He has used them as an escape for so long, he doesn't know how to function otherwise. Anyone who has battled any form of addiction knows exactly what I'm talking about. In my teens, I was addicted to weed, and it started as a fun escape, getting high and playing games. But as it continued, it morphed into a true addiction. I didn't know who I was sober anymore. You're no longer getting high to have fun, you do it because it's the only thing you know. For the Seeker here, it's the first day without succumbing to his addiction, but he knows that staying would be a losing battle. It doesn't matter how strong his willpower is, he would still fail. If he doesn't change his surroundings, then he falls back into your old habits without even noticing it. I did like the way I ended the chapter. The Seeker has accepted he needs to leave, but his final thoughts are not about his addiction, they're for Valkyr. The one spark of hope and light in his current darkness. Sometimes that's all you need, something to cling to when you don't have the strength to see yourself as worthwhile, which the Seeker definitely doesn't right now. Well, that's all for this week. Don't forget, I have a Patreon up if you want to throw some support my way. You can find the details on my website, davewrights.com. That's Dave, WRIGHTS.com. For anyone out there listening where some of this might strike a little too close to home, please remember you're not alone with what you're going through. There's always a spark for you somewhere. Don't give up looking. Hopefully, I'll see you all next week. Take care.